Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm here to help you win the battle for business each and every week. Now, I know you're out there closing deals, you're making money, and you're turning prospects into profits, so I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on great guests, the kind of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, no exception, I can assure you of that. So, as always, thanks so much for being on board today. Now, my topic is going to be an interesting one here for the Profit Express. Today, I want to talk about freedom of speech. Freedom of speech, you're thinking, I'm an accountant. Freedom of speech, Tim, I make pizzas, I sell socks. What do I have to worry about freedom of speech? Well, you're probably right. At least as of now, you really don't have to worry about freedom of speech. But what if you were in an industry? What if you made your living in an industry that is currently under attack? Well, the iconic legends of the comedy business are saying that they have been and are under attack. People like Jerry Seinfeld, Ricky Gervais, Jay Leno have been talking about the cancel culture and the impact it's had on their business. So if you're a comedian or if you're, you know, butting into the industry, it could have a very real impact as to how you are as a creative person, as an artist, the material you create, how you deliver it. Now, again, if you make pizza and somebody comes to your restaurant and they didn't like the taste of your pepperoni pie, it's pretty unlikely that they're going to jump on social media and said, I had a pepperoni pizza at Pasquale's Pizzeria and it offended my taste buds. And they're probably not going to want to, you know, close down your pizzeria. But the real fact of the matter is comedians are under attack and we are in a cancel culture. So I want to talk about freedom of speech today. And while you might, you know, if you're not a comedian, you think, well, hey, how's this going to impact me? There are two comedians, probably within the last few years, in Canada, who've actually received fines for offensive jokes. Wow. Think about that. So, I want to talk about the impact freedom of speech is having on an industry, on people who make their living on the industry, and I'm having back an absolute fan favorite here, The Profit Express. If you're a fan of the show, you know him, Scott Baker, improv comedian, and he's one half of the act, the quickest thinkers in comedy with Vinnie Marx, so it's a great pleasure to have him back on the show, Scott Baker.
Thank you, Tim. Always love coming and talking to you about stuff.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I learn stuff when I come here.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'm probably one of the few, but you know, I learn stuff here. No matter what they're saying on social media about it, I learn stuff.
So despite all the poor ratings and the bad comments, you pick up a thing or two.
I do, and I'm not that bright. So if I'm picking things up, I'm sure there's one or two other people out there that are also profiting from the Profit Express.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. So, you know, you said we'll talk about something. It's actually a serious topic, and people might think, you know, freedom of speech on the Profit Express, but when it impacts an industry, when it, you know, entertainment, comedy in particular, I think is really getting hit hard with this. It's something that I want to talk about. Now, it's funny because you and I spoke a while ago. I said, hey, you know what? Come on for our annual Christmas show, right? Because we've been doing a fun Christmas show for the past few years.
Yeah, and it was more fun.
A lot of fun.
Can people still get those on your old podcast?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Absolutely. And I was looking forward to doing that, and I came across an interview that Jerry Seinfeld was on. And I forget who – it was a late-night show, and I forget who the host was. Is a guy, I think his first name is Seth. I don't remember his last name.
It's an old
name.
One. You talking about the colleges?
No. Okay. This is relatively recent.
Okay.
And the host said to Seinfeld, was, you know, hey, isn't comedy's job to kind of, you know, push the limits and push the lines? And Seinfeld basically, I'm paraphrasing, he said, yes, but everybody's pulling the lines in closer and closer and closer. So when he said that, it kind of got me thinking. And then I go on YouTube and I'm doing some research and I'm hearing comments from Jay Leno and Bill Burr. And I knew it was out there. I think we've all heard about and experienced the cancel culture. But when you hear comedians talking about it in a very real way, because it's affecting their livelihood and what they do, I figured, you know what? Let's not talk about Christmas this time. I actually wanted to talk about freedom of speech. And hey, that's why you're here.
Yeah, it definitely has affected on so many different levels, though. It was a great intro, by the way.
Thank you.
The only thing is I'll add to is that it cross-pollinates. Mm-hmm. So when people say, like you said something about, oh, the accountant, you, or the, was there some other examples you gave?
The pizzeria, the guy who sells socks, right.
That's right. And you say, oh, well, the person who are, people who are in those industries say, well, it doesn't affect me.
Right.
I'm going to use a, I don't like making comparisons to anything Nazi Germany-esque, because that is something that people's got to stop throwing those words around.
Sure.
However, to use a metaphor or a parallel to it, mm-hmm. and that is in those days or in those countries or in those circumstances, even if it's just watered down to regular stance, if you're looking at someone bullying another kid, for right. example, when you say, well, it doesn't affect me, so I'm not going to do anything, it does affect you because it's going to come around. So when you see a child being bullied and you don't say anything, guess what? It could be you or your child or someone else's child the next time. Mm-hmm. If, when you see, like in the 1930s when, oh, you know, it affects all the people they're taking away, whether it be Jews, homosexuals, people who are against our government,
right.
they're taking them away. But as long as I keep my mouth shut, they're not going to take me away.
Right. And then people think they're safe for the
they're
moment.
They're safe for
right,
the moment.
Right, right,
so the accountant and the person who owns a sock company, the computer company, when you see people being canceled,
right.
if you don't stand up, trust me, they are coming after you as well. And if you don't think so, you're living in the, I used to work as a cop mm-hmm. in an Asian community, and it was a very poignant Asian saying, this man is living with one eye open, one eye closed.
Mm-hmm,
he
mm-hmm.
sees the truth. He just doesn't want to talk about the truth.
Right. Acknowledge it. Yeah, acknowledge yeah. it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's happening.
Right.
And yeah, you when you see even, it used to be okay to go after certain segments of society. So mm-hmm. if you went after people in the South and making fun of people that are stupid that live in trailer parks, that was all okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was all okay because they were, no one was going to say, oh, no one's going to stick up for a you know, a white hickey, you know, person from the South trailer
right,
park.
Right, right.
And it should be okay because it's in jest. You don't really, come on, you're not really thinking that's, if you are, then you have mental issues.
Right.
So then all of a sudden it spreads, you know, when you but you were always able to make everyone else was open game. Now, this one's not open game. That one's not open game. This was, now there's a difference between attacking someone being really, really over the edge. But if you're really over the edge, people are going to walk out on you if you're really over the edge. But when you're not over the edge, when people are canceling you just because you hurt their feelings, the one person, but then the venue or the network starts canceling you, that's where the issue comes in. In comedy is probably the most subjective, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, of all the art forms.
Right.
Because, look, if someone's a rap artist but you don't like rap, you're not going to buy their albums and go to their concert, right? If someone is a opera singer and you don't like opera, you're not going to go to the opera.
Right.
But when you go to a venue that says, I have a singer, you usually know what this singer is about. Now, when you go to a comedy club and you don't know the comedian but you know the venue – like a, just a regular comedy
You don't know
club.
The comedian's routine, exactly. the material. Right,
you
right.
You know the material.
Right.
So you go in, and now it's subjective. Oh, I didn't like him because he was attacking women, or he was attacking men, or he was attacking dogs. Or I didn't like him because I don't like loud comedians. You don't know what you got till you get
right.
there. Now, all of a sudden, you walk into a place, and they say anything at all. Maybe they'll use an Asian accent, or maybe they'll talk about a black neighbor. Before you even hear the joke.
Right.
All of a sudden you're offended and you're walking out, and now you're on Twitter or you're on TikTok or you're on the gathering. All the people have nothing better to do but be angry in their life. So they just, I mean, how many times you see it? Here's a great example in the music industry, right?
Right.
Didn't Paul McCartney and Kanye West, and something happened and someone said, oh boy, Paul McCartney ought to, thank Kanye West. Without him, he wouldn't have a career. Because they did like a duo or something, right? A duet, right? And it's like, so people have just, social media, Mike Tyson said it great. Social media gives you the ability to be a jackass
right.
without getting punched in the face.
Right. Now, you mentioned being offended, right? Ricky Gervais has spoken out a lot about it recently. And he goes, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right.
He's great. He's right. He's absolutely right.
Now, because again, it was funny. You know, you and I have talked about Don Rickles, right?
Yeah. One of my favorites. One of your favorites.
Sure, absolutely. One of the late greats. And we've talked about off air and in previous conversations, you know, could there ever be another Don Rickles? Because he offended everybody. And people think, maybe you couldn't have another Don Rickles.
See, but here's the thing. The word he offended everybody in those days, I don't think he offended a whole lot. I think he had fun with. Because Rickles, I mean, it was a compliment to get insulted or picked on or acknowledged by Rickles.
Right, right.
And, you know, when you look at the old Dean Martin roast, he's hitting Sammy. you know, Davis Jr.
It's across the board.
Across the board. He's hitting Muhammad Ali, Will Chamberlain. Yeah. He's hitting, you know, he's hitting his own, you know, he was Jewish. He's hitting Jewish people. He's hitting Irish. He's hitting Italian. Right. And people are laughing. Oh, what's he going to say next? What's he going to say next?
Right.
It wasn't offended. It was, you'd be in it, seven kinds of a moron to take this guy seriously.
Well, it's funny, as I'm saying this, Scott, and you corrected me without correcting me. I said, you know, he offended everybody. And like, well, you know, maybe he was just having fun with everybody.
Right.
And you're right, because I'm even thinking, okay, everybody's getting offended, which is not the case.
Right.
Well, at least it used to not be the case.
Right. Well, I think along, you know, you always, like, again, I think you have a segment of society that doesn't have any, you know, spine, that as soon as they hear a complaint, they shut it all down. Oh, we can't do that because it might be a complaint. I'll give you an example on a cruise ship we did. We do a bit called Book Review, where my partner gets a title from the topic from the audience. Mm-hmm. He comes up with a topic.
Right.
We have a volunteer from the audience sitting next to us on stage. So everything we do is off the cuff.
Right.
And then I'm the translator.
Mm-hmm.
So we were making fun of Kim Jong-un.
Right.
Evil dictator.
Right. From the North Korean dictator. Yeah. Right.
So he would ask a question. Now, this person's playing Kim Jong-un.
Right.
And he would ask a question. I would do the question. So if he asked a question like, how long did it take him to get here from North Korea? That's
right.
The question to me that I have to ask Kim Jong-un. I would turn to them and go, and then he would do his version of Kim Jong-un.
Right.
Now, that's where the joke is, because we don't know what he's going to do.
Right, right.
So we do it. The crowd goes hysterical on a cruise ship.
Right.
I'm not going to mention the cruise ship, but we're on the Norwegian, whatever. So we, so we're doing the cruise ship, right? There's people from all over different
the world, sure, world, right? Of course.
So in between shows, you do two shows on a night,
right?
So in between shows, we had a white cruise director come down. He goes, oh, you know, great show, guys. You can't do that last bit. I go, what was wrong? He goes, yeah, you know, we have people. You know, everyone gets offended. We have people from North Korea on here. I go, okay, you don't have anybody on the ship. That's how far-reaching he. If you have people from North Korea, they're not going back. Number one,
right.
You know, and last time I remember, you know, there's not a huge North Korean population.
Right.
So I was like, listen, you're writing the checks. We can change it easily to another country. But let me ask you this: if we did France, and I did a French accent, aren't the French people going to get offended? So who are you to decide for a complete another race who gets offended?
Right.
And then we have people from South Korea. As we got chewed out in the booth and we decide to redo the whole bit, we got these people, an Asian family running down the steps at us in between the shows.
Right.
And we go, oh boy, I guess we did offend people. They must have complained. Now I feel bad because I don't want to. You don't want to offend.
It's like, no.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were smiling. Go, can we take pictures with you? We from South Korea. We hate him. And it was so funny. Right. We filmed it. We want to show our friends. Can we take pictures with you? Yeah, so here we are. You're the white guy up in the booth saying that North Koreans are going to get offended. But the people from South Korea are taking pictures of us because they know we weren't making fun of anybody Asian. We were making fun of Kim Jong-un, not Asian people. We weren't doing that.
So you have an act. You have an appearance on this cruise ship. How many years ago was this, or when was this?
It was only 2 years ago.
It was only two years ago.
COVID hit in January of 2020, right?
March. Well, March, yeah, I mean, yeah, but beginning of 2020, right.
So this was Christmas of 19.
Okay, so 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're approaching Christmas 21.
Yeah.
So, all right, so then, another question I had, but I think we just got the answer here, is do you think comedy's under attack?
Yeah, yeah.
So then, and again, listen.
But I don't want to say like, oh, poor me as a comedian. It's cross-pollinization. You know, everything's under attack from it, you know? You know, athletes, if you don't toe the company line. Drew Brees, for example, didn't want to go with the protests.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden he got lambasted and he had to make a public apology.
Right, right.
You know, there's a lot of people, no matter what background you come from, if you don't toe the line of the cancel culture, whether you are black, white, Hispanic, male, female, transgender, if you come out speaking against their narrative, they want to circle your wagons and cancel you. And it's funny because I learned this from a guy in business who started a business, I mean, with nothing, multi-million-dollar business. And I talked to him because I was doing something on the side. And he said, Scott, whatever you do, go all in. don't worry about who you're going to offend, who you're not, because it's a big country, it's a big world. And there's a silent majority of people out there that hate this cancel culture and will probably be with you. I'm not talking about being like a, you know, something off the wall.
Right.
But I mean, you know, people have a diverse background.
Right.
People have a diversity of opinions, which we should all, instead of listening, and we say talk about this on the show all the time, instead of listening to respond, why don't we listen to understand what the other person's talking about? Let's at least hear them before we start canceling the joke.
So I just asked, you know, is comedy under attack? You say yes. You just give an example when you're on a cruise ship. Okay, this is how you make your living. Okay,
right.
You're out there, and the cruise director says, "Hey, you know, great bit, but you know, we want you to get rid of this one bit that had you were doing a North Korean accent.
Right.
We don't want to offend anybody." So was that the first time that you were approached by a venue or whoever hired you who critiqued, or I should say criticized, your act?
I think we've had three times in 15 years.
Okay.
All again.
Pretty good track record.
Yeah. And again, I don't have an issue with the criticism because, again, since it's subjective, maybe you have a background where you're sensitive to something.
Right.
That's your thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I have a thing in what you're bringing up, canceling. As a comedian, not everyone's going to like my show.
Right.
You know, most people do, thank God. We pride ourselves on not making fun of, but having fun with.
Right.
I don't believe in doing political stuff on stage for me. You know,
right.
I don't believe in doing a whole lot of bad blue stuff for me.
Right.
Dice Clay's made a gazillion dollars out of it.
Right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it is. Bill Maher has been political. He's made a gazillion dollars out of it.
Right.
Yeah, it's just not what I do, you know. But I try not to be offensive by nature. So there's a difference between offending your one person where you can have a conversation and say, I apologize. I didn't mean to do it that way. I hope, you know. But if you're offended, I understand. Let's agree that you don't like my show. I'm not changing it, but whatever.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, you're in this business to appease the public. But if 99 people love your show and one person doesn't, I got to change my show now because of that one person. So the venues have to stand up and say, sorry. And we've been at some venues. I don't want to mention them because I don't want to get them
fine.
Hot water.
That's
hot
fine.
Water. But they have, to their credit, said, no, you know, sorry you feel that way.
Right.
But he's very popular here.
Right.
And we're keeping him. And we've been there over 100 times. And we have had other people like the cruise ship. You know, nobody even complained.
Right.
Nobody. And he had an issue with it. So, you know, it depends. But
well, three times in 15 years, it's bound to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, you referenced the friend who gave you advice. You know, you're starting a business in a big country. There's lots of people.
I'll give you a counterexample. One time where I thought the person was right.
Okay,
so we were at a place called Rocking Horse Ranch.
Okay.
We could go there a lot.
Sure.
And again, I guess maybe it's my cop background or being an improv and believing what I say, listen to understand, not just reply.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to really believe that. So we did a gig for Girl Scout troops.
Okay.
They rented the place out. It was young girls, 10, 11. But they like us because we're family friendly. We're not offensive.
Right.
We have fun with the kids.
Right.
So we did something called Moving Body. Okay. So Moving Bodies, I can't move. My partner is narrating it, and we did a spy.
I saw you guys doing that. Yeah,
and we
do a
spy mission.
Yeah.
We bring someone up from the audience to move me.
Right.
Now, being that it's little kids, we don't want them touching me. You know
what I
mean?
Enough.
You know.
Yeah.
So we bring one of the troop mothers up.
Right.
And it's funny.
Right.
So one of the things was I was saving the world as a James Bond thing, right?
Right.
So he goes, pick up the bomb, James. Yes, I'm picking it up. Now I'm not moving, so she's picking me up. Throw it out the window. And my partner goes, you throw like a five-year-old girl. Okay, now, it's right, joking, but the lady came up to after us. She says, I didn't like that joke. It's reinforcing the fact that girls aren't athletes.
Right.
Now, on the first surface, I'm like, well, we didn't even think about that. But
right.
When you listen to her to understand, she's trying to enforce that women could do anything men can.
You're doing a performance for the Girl Scout. Yeah,
I understood what she said.
Makes sense. Okay.
And I apologize. I said, you know, I didn't think of it that way.
Right.
Because I'm listening to her to understand.
Right.
You know, she was offended by it. Was she offended? I think it was so stupid to be offended by it.
Right.
But it could have been brought up to me in a different way. But that's her way of doing it. Whatever. So, but now it's in my head going, hey, I get it. You know, you want to promote something that little girls can do, whatever little
sure.
boys can.
Yeah.
And I get it. But I'm not egotistical like that.
Right.
I get that. The North Korean stuff, you're an idiot.
Right,
you
right.
Know, you're an idiot.
And this is the Prophet Express. And today I want to talk about freedom of speech. And certainly an interesting topic for the Prophet Express. But it's an important one when you have an entire industry, namely the business of comedy currently under attack, and we've been hearing from the likes of Jerry Seinfeld and Jay Leno and Ricky Gervais, who've been talking about it for years now, as to how the boundaries of comedy are being constricted and constricted and constricted. And I want to talk about it today. I think it's an interesting topic. And it also has scary elements to it, because freedom of speech is certainly one of those rights that we hold near and dear as Americans. And while you think, hey, I'm an accountant or I own a pizzeria, it's not going to affect me, the way it can affect a comedian who's performing, who's creating an act, maybe not. We don't know. So I want to have the conversation. That's why we have Scott Baker on. He's certainly a fan favorite here. He's one half of the Quickest Thinkers in Comedy with Vinnie Mark. But it's just very interesting because, listen, you know, freedom of speech has not impacted what I do, you know. With, you know, as a sales performance coach with Healy Success Solutions. But even with the show, The Profit Express, I've never been controversial, you know, certainly not a political show. That's just not, right. There's plenty of other shows who do it.
Right.
You know, I find it draining personally.
So do I. That's why we don't do it on stage. Right?
Yeah, exactly. It's just not for me. And plenty of people do it and they do it great and that's fine.
Right.
But when we talk about freedom of speech, and you know, maybe you know, it can affect the accountant some way, and maybe in an advertisement that they do one day, or maybe in the way that they run a seminar or something, something that they're doing in their office. I mean, who knows? But once you open Pandora's box, yeah. It's open.
Well, my accountant, as we were talking, she said something that I guess tipped off her political viewpoint.
Right.
Okay. I agreed with her.
Right.
And we got to talking.
Right.
But what if I didn't agree with her? And I was one of those offended people. Would I go back to her? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, instead of going, because if she didn't have my political viewpoint, I wouldn't have thought twice about it, unless she went so far over the top.
Right.
I'm like, wow, man, I'm seeing a side of you that I don't really like as a human
right,
being.
Right, 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 right.
But if it's what you believe, you think that your candidate or your viewpoints check every single box of morality, you're right. Out of your mind.
Right, right. We live in a very imperfect world.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that for the, you know, it was in, just before COVID, December 2019, you were on a cruise ship and the cruise director had mentioned, hey, you know what, you want to, you know, take this one element out of the routine. You've seen comedy being under attack. When did you first start to see it? When you're at these clubs, when you're at these resorts, you're talking to other comedians, you have friends in the business, obviously. How long has this been an issue that you know, people in the business have been talking about it?
That's a great question. I think more of the last, you say to not to get political, but everything ties into political because everything's politicized.
Right, right.
Because the media and a lot of activists love, especially the media and activists, they love division. If they don't divide us, who's going to turn on? You're
right.
Really going to turn on the news every night to watch? You're turning on your news channel, whether
right.
it be right or left,
right.
to get cheerleaders to tell you how smart you are so you could sit there and go, yeah, great, this is great. There's people.
Right.
You know, and I think people are totally sick of it. But, you know, I'd say the last 4 or 5 years, maybe it was snowballing before that. But I don't know. As a cop, we all got to, you know, pretty much New York City got along pretty well, except for like last 4 or 5 years, you know?
Right.
People like to tell you, oh, people don't like the cops. I got to tell you, when you go into the projects and I did community speeches, there were far more people there that asked, how come we don't see enough of you than you guys are policing too harshly.
Right, right.
But the news is going to shove a microphone in front of the 55-year-old single mom's face and say, do you like the police up here? Yeah, they make me feel safe because I come home on a late shift when the building's dark and I feel threatened.
Right.
No, you're going to throw the microphone at someone and says, oh, that cop just got me for no reason. How do you know it was no reason?
Right. Right,
because you say it was no reason? So the division that they want to do has now bled over into comedy. It's bled over into the accountant. It's bled over into the pizza maker. Because if you hang a flag supporting your political
affiliation party, yeah, your candidate,
take two of the biggest things. If you hang a Black Lives Matter poster up in your window or you hang a Back the Blue flag,
right.
You will get people who will not come into your store.
Right.
Instead of going, well, maybe he's got a reason.
Sure.
Maybe they have a reason for either or.
Right.
But they're good people.
Right.
Let me go ahead and shake their hands.
Right.
Maybe they have a different experience than I did.
Right.
But I don't want to cancel them. They're good people. Now, if I go in there and act like jackasses, then I don't want to go in because you're just not a good person. That's the difference. But to cancel you, you know, I'm going to cancel you because you voted for X. Or I'm going to cancel you because you joined this club.
Or I found a line in your act offensive.
Found offensive,
now, I'm kind of paraphrasing the thought where it's, correct me if I'm wrong, where it's been said that, you know, comedians are supposed to be the truth tellers in society. Like, they're the ones who are willing to talk about the dark topics.
The uncomfortable stuff, yeah.
Right, the stuff that...
And make it funny.
Right. And yeah. I think what a real craft and talent that is.
Sure.
To talk about the topics, you know, Chappelle is one who's had some really controversial stuff recently, you know, according to certain people. But what kind of a price... Now, so here's the question, Scott. What kind of a price are we paying in society? You know, certain comedians are fighting back. Certain comedians might not be. What price are we paying if we start to really discourage in mass comedians from touching upon and tackling the tough topics?
You know, it's a personal answer. Me, I think it's a monstrous price you're paying. Because like I said at the beginning of the show, it bleeds over. It cross-pollinizes itself. Because where does it stop? In other words, you want a society where everyone just walks the company line.
Mm-hmm,
you're not allowed to. When you get a fined by a government.
The Canadian government.
But not our government. I mean, a government, I meant to say. I'm sorry.
Sure.
By the Canadian government for saying what they deem offensive. Well, I deem something else that this person said offensive. Why not fine them? Who made you the arbiter of what's offensive and what's not?
Right.
Would fine. How about we make the arbiter of, you know, the people who don't want to put them on television or the people who don't want to pay the price of the ticket? You know, I mean, could Don Rickles have a career today?
Think about that. I saw him again. You and I, big fans. He's one of my favorites. I saw him at the old Westbury Theater here on Long Island. It was Northwell now? I forget.
Yeah, and in the Round.
In the Round, right. It's a great venue if you're here on Long Island, you know about it. And so I saw him. I went with my brother. This is easily 15 years ago, okay? And Joy Behar was opening up for him. I'm not a fan of Joy Behar, right? I don't like her on The View. I don't really watch The View.
Me neither.
And I didn't really like her comedy. But she was the opening act for Rickles. So I sat there, and, you know, there was probably one or two things that she said, like, I got a smile or two, but I'm not a fan. I wasn't going to boo her. I wasn't going to heckle her. This is more before social media the way it is today. It's like, okay, I got to sit through Joy before I get to Don Rickles.
Exactly.
You know, that was it.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm not a fan of hers either. I think she's a talentless person.
Right.
You know, I think that she's nothing become. Maybe she was at one point, because I remember seeing her comedy years ago.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, she's far more successful than I am, but I'm just giving my, what I would pay my ticket to.
Right.
But I'm not writing ABC The View going, I want her canceled.
Yeah.
If there's enough people that want to see her and pay for her and they're that stupid, fine.
Right.
Fine. You know, are we that week where Joy Behar is now and Whoopi Goldberg are writing our moral scriptures?
Right.
We're like, well, Joy and Whoopi said it, so it must be true.
Right.
That's for you to decide.
Oh,
if you want to sit there and have a love fest with Joy and Whoopi, be my guest.
Have at it, right. Listen, you have time to stick around. You're not going anywhere.
I love the show. As a matter of fact, I don't want to, sorry, I don't want to, excuse the expression, but mug for the camera, but. I got this as a Christmas gift.
Listen, I didn't want to, you know, take credit for
it
here.
Right. But for those of you who wonder if Tim is all that cheery during the holiday season.
Don't forget the t-shirt I got you, too.
We'll get to that, but I just want to say he didn't even get me coffee. So what he did, I had to bring my own water for the mug.
That's not true. You know, that is so untrue. I got you a bottle of water.
Filled from the tap. And that's what we drink in your water. It's not like I get, how about when I used to do his show, he used to go, do me a favor. And I swear to God, I'd be running to a can you stop over at Starbucks and get me this, and this?
It was just a cup of coffee.
A Starbucks is like $8.
It's not. We've been through this a million times.
Plus the gas. It was like a $15 thing to come to your show.
Oh, stop.
But I love Tim Healy.
Really?
And all that sacrifice is now paid off with a ceramic mug.
Come on. That's not too shabby.
Watch this. He didn't cheap out. It's not just on this side. Watch this, folks.
Look at this.
It's on both sides. See that? It's a circle.
We spare no expense. That's both right. sides. Drinking, and you could you see me right
on your a lefty and a righty. See that?
there we go. Well, thank you for the compliment. I think I'm not really sure what it was.
It's a solid mug.
It is. Yeah, it is. We're going to make this a part one and a part two. So we're talking about censorship here on the Prophet Express, and certainly a topic that first time I've ever covered it here on the show. And you know what? It's affecting the business of comedy. And to me, that's worrisome. I'm not a comedian. I don't make my money doing it. So, you know, I can think, well, what do I care? Well, because it's potentially impacting the way people make a living. It's also potentially impacting people wanting to become comedians or not. It's also impacting how people go about their craft, creating material, which is part of what I want to tackle in part two. So stay tuned for that. And also I want to get Scott's opinion on some fun stories on Don Rickles, because I know you've got a few, or just, your opinion on him versus some other comedians. That's going to be part two of my interview with Scott Baker. Again, he's one half of Quickest Thinkers in Comedy, their improv performance.
Comedy team.
With Vinnie Mark. Vinny's clearly the funnier guy. He was booked
and
today.
Better looking
and funnier.
Absolutely.
But he was booked today, so Scott came. Yeah. So thanks for part one, and certainly stay tuned for part two.
He had a choice whether to come on here or get a colonoscopy.
So. I don't, well, you know, hey, they knock you out for the colonoscopy, right? Me, he'd have to talk to. But listen, before we break here on part one, we always have to thank sponsors, the people who support the show, love the show, the likes of Corbett Public Relations, okay, who've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit my good friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Right here on the Prophet Express, until part two with Scott Baker.